Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Self is Necessary. You're here today with me, Mary Kay Winehagen, and Delray J. Bentz. Hi, Delray.
Hello, Mary Kay.
Oh my gosh, suddenly you got really loud and clear. Before, you weren't quite that loud. I don't know if you've noticed, but technology is going a little wonky the last couple of weeks. So.
Oh, yeah. And we can't even blame it on sunspots.
Right, yeah. It's just a weird thing. I want to welcome anyone and everyone who has joined us. Delray is the visionary owner of the Life Learning Center of Self and has been on quite a spiritual journey herself. And we come together on this program, Self is Necessary, to remind you that self is necessary and how frequently we take ourselves out of the equation. Today we're talking about learned behavior, and here's some behavior I'd like you to learn. We'd love to have you interact with us. You could either go to Delray's blog. I encourage both of these. Delray's blog at goldenwordsofself.com, and you can come and play with us over at Facebook at the Life Learning Center of Self page, and that is at facebook.com/Life Learning Center of Self, all run together, no spaces. I think anyone listening is probably pretty savvy to websites and putting
exactly.
A URL in there. But, so how's life treating you out east of me?
Well,
we're both in the U.S., but, you know, you're east.
Well, I do love moving. I mean, it's really interesting to, you know, you hear people talk about how people act differently in certain parts of the United States. I haven't found that, but maybe it's because I walk with an open heart and I want to be friends with everyone, and so I'm treated that way, which I know for a fact is the truth. But, you know, talking in the physical, talking in spirit.
Right.
One of the things that I want to reiterate here, and I'll keep talking and keep talking, Mary Kay and I are starting a new format here because we want to talk about how people see things in the physical, and I'm here to show you how you have to add our spirit. Men have 80% physical, 20% spirit that they're incorporating, and that means balance. And women have 80% spirit and 20% physical. That means balance. So we have to learn how to look at each and every scenario that we are walking through. And if we're a woman, we have to be careful that we don't over-emotionalize this, because it's in our emotions where our spirit lies. But we also have to remember that emotion means you're supposed to emote it. So you have to find that feeling, and then you have to put yourself first and foremost, woohoo. And that brings us to learned behaviors and how they kick us off track.
Yes.
You didn't think I was going to make it around to that, did you, Mary Kay?
You did fabulous. I am very impressed. No, that was perfect.
Well, you know, because, you know, I know people that are, we do not have a script, so, you know, this is like, okay.
We're just having a conversation here. We'd love to have you join in.
I know it. It makes it a little easier if people are saying, what about this? You know, because then I can focus on a specific question, and those other people who are listening can go, oh, well, I had a scenario like that. So what we're trying to do with everyone is explain to them that balance doesn't mean 50-50 on the scale. Balance means 80-20. And mm-hmm. depending if we're male or female, the other 80 is not their 80. And that's one of the reasons that men and women do not communicate exactly the same way. Men are here and they come in to experience things in a physical manner. And they do have 20%, but that's really why men draw particular women into their lives, whether it is for that spousal or, you know, significant other partnership, whether they're working environment together, so on and so forth, you know, friendships. It's so that they have that input with that spirit that flows through a woman. Woman, you know, I've come here on this planet many, many times. I really prefer being in the woman body versus the male body because I think we have it way easier. But once we get it right. So on our slate today, we want to talk about learned behaviors. And so what would be the first question you'd like to ask, Mary Kay, being as you get to be the questioner?
Right. Well, one of the things I was actually talking to someone else about earlier today, though, because I am looking at this learned behavior issue, and I happen to have a degree in child psychology, and the term learned behavior is a big piece of what is talked about when you're, you know, getting a degree in psychology, whether it's child psychology, any kind of psychology. Now, I know that that's from the physical side of it, and it's speaking to we all have learned behaviors, and they impact and influence choices we're making today, and we want to look at whether a learned behavior is serving us or it's not, and if it's not serving us, how do you best go about unlearning a behavior? But what you're talking about, I mean,
and I'm sure that in your classes too, they're teaching you how to work with small children not to build a learned behavior.
Right.
And now I get to work with people and try to show them how to bring spirit in to dissolve the learned behavior and then to express why they picked up the learned behaviors so that they can start seeing them clearly before they make them, the choices in the learned behavior. Correct?
Right. Okay. And you know, on a simple physical level, people would talk about a learned behavior as, you know, not playing in traffic, which could serve us. Some of those courtesy pieces, like the please and thank you that we teach our children is a learned behavior. They may not be very sincere in their please and thank yous because it's simply a learned behavior. And they say please and thank you and excuse me. It may become something that more meaningful to them over time. That's kind of up to them. But in some people, they don't learn it or they don't ever feel it. That's a whole different thing. But I think what we're exploring here today is understanding that we came in to have some, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I want to see if I got this and you've got this better.
Okay.
we come in and we'll have some experiences that rub us the wrong way. And rather than looking at the lesson about that rub, we'll learn how to behave maybe the opposite way of it. I mean, an example that would come up that I would be willing to share and could talk about is, you know, there were some ways my mom was when I was a kid that didn't land on me as something sensible. I would not
loving
have
and
wanted
caring.
To raise me. I will say, I would not have wanted to raise me. But anyway, so, you know, me, you know, with all my childlike exuberance, said, I'm never going to do that or be that or whatever. And so I learned to go 180 degrees from that to a place where I am today like decades older and I'm still cutting my nose to spite my face because of this behavior I learned. That is not taking into consideration the lesson of what she could have brought to me.
Exactly.
It's on a spiritual level of understanding that lesson, I think, that we really need to
I've spent a lot of time talking about we have this small child, and that small child stopped their evolutionary process when they were forced to cross their boundaries. That's us. We were forced to cross the boundary that was detrimental to us in a way that we didn't know how to repair it. We didn't look around to find the guardians that were there that could have walked us through that particular lesson. That's what creates a small child within. I'm sure that in psychology they have a different word for that. But that's what creates that internal child. Now it's that internal child that's trying to protect its heart that starts creating learned behaviors.
Oh, sure.
And they create the learned behavior to protect themselves. Even though we're growing up, even though in our emotional state, we've learned how to hide that little child. Those learned behaviors were picked up by us to protect that little child because we didn't want to deal with the lesson that was going on right then and there because we wrote a story about it instead. And in writing that story, we've become a victim. And hell or high water, we're to protect that victim because that victim is a little bitty child. And you just don't abuse a little child. No matter what the story is, that really is the essence of how learned behaviors are created. It's short, it's sweet, but we've used them for so long, we don't realize how the smallest little step can be reinforcing that learned behavior and not supporting the conscious mind of the adult who's trying to bring that small child up to the emotional level of the adult. And so you can see, like you said, you flipped yourself so far that you, and they're so subtle, Mary Kay. That's why you keep finding yourself making the same choices.
Yes.
Because that learned behavior does not go, woo-hoo, wake up, you're just about ready to cross the line. No, we've created those learned behaviors to slip in so quietly that it doesn't make a little hiccup. When we're coming close to the vibration that's going to bring up the lesson of that little tiny child where we had to stand up for ourselves. And there's a couple of things that there's a couple of things we have to put on the table. We have learned behaviors. We are putting a heavy weight on words that we have to use when we're trying to learn how to talk about saving that little child when we're talking with other God beings. And because we learn to love these other God beings, we're afraid that we're going to hurt their feelings in trying to express how we've let our feelings go and get hurt.
Yes, we are.
And so that is really where our dilemma is. Our dilemma is learning how to recognize that it's a lesson. We have to become our own best guardian. And in so doing, whenever we are interacting with another God being and we can see all of the steps they're taking and we can see, they just fell off. And we're interacting with them. We're living with them. We're loving them. We're caring for them, whether they're our spouses,
right,
whether they're, you know, children, parents, whatever it is, we just went, whoa. But instead of going over there and trying to help them, what we should be doing is learning about how does that impact me? Because the greatest gift we can give them is letting them find out where their learned behavior was, where their wounded child is, what tools they put and are using on the scale, or did they forget everything and just go headlong into, that's okay, it's just a little thing. I'm not going to hurt myself. But then when we realize, oh, we've let this go so long now, and it's really starting to be detrimental to ourselves, then we don't want to share, once again, because we think the impact is going to be too great.
Right.
So
that's, we just don't
that's
worry
where
about
we have,
the impact?
Well, it's not about worrying. It's about looking at, you have to keep talking to yourself, being the guardian for self, talking to those people who can help guide you, not have opinions about what you're doing, but help guide you. And that means give you questions that you haven't thought of yourself so that you can continue to delve inside so you can take the weight off the words you have to share. Because you do have to share them. Because you're being dishonorable to everybody who's playing with you if you don't tell them the truth about yourself.
Oh, I love that.
And you and I have already, you know, we've talked about how with your ex-husband, with my ex-husband, how because we didn't share that fear part, we didn't give them an opportunity to come up to the plate and do what they could have done in their scenario that really could have supported your scenario a little better. even if
right.
they said to you, I'm not going to change, that still gave you the, okay, then I know what I have to do.
Exactly.
I have to, because I'm the most important person in my life, and I have to stand up for I'm the most important person in my life. Does that always mean our hearts are going to be happy and joyful? Yes, it does. It does. It doesn't seem like it will be, because some days we have to be sad. But yes, even underneath the sad, there's joy. Because in your sadness, you know that you're saying goodbye to one face, but you're then allowing the next face to come in that can support you in the way you're learning that you need to be supported. But see, we put so much matter into what that face looks like. How is that God being going to go on without me? Well, probably a lot better than I can go on without me. Because
exactly.
I need me.
Exactly.
But I'm giving
necessary.
Up me. We're forgetting. We're giving up the me when we don't stand up. When we say to ourselves, it's too hard. When we say, I don't have the words. Well, practice the words. Practice the thoughts. You want to remember, what's the impact on self? Yes, those beings get to make those choices over and over and over until they learn it. We've taken our time, like you said, just a couple decades.
Right.
Just a couple we've taken to learn these wonderful things. But we also get to make a choice. Do we want to walk decades with the next God being?
Right.
Or do we want to allow God beings who are of the same vibration and the same level of vibration? It doesn't mean they're the same energy as you, but they can be of the same vibration. And
right.
overall, really, truly, we want to be in joy. And so even in our sadness, when we go, oh, this was wonderful. This was wonderful and most magnificent moments of my life, but it's getting where I'm putting myself on the line again, and I just can't do that, and I have to stand up for myself. And you know, lo and behold, when we really have the courage to do that, have you ever noticed how it really works out the most phenomenally for everybody involved?
It really does.
It does. It really does. And we look through the past and we go, wow. So why did it take me so long? Because we put weight, we put matter, and we have these learned behaviors that we've incorporated that were made as a safety net. You've heard me talk about safety nets a long time ago, right, Mary Kay?
Yep.
And do
yeah.
you remember how I said to you, be very careful with your safety nets because you can get so lost in them. Safety net is the same thing as a learned behavior. They really are the same
sure.
thing.
Yeah.
And
well,
that's
and
how
as
you
you're
lost.
Yeah. As you're talking, I want to share this because I think it serves as a great example. I could be wrong, but I think it does. Because this just popped into my mind. Because one of the things I think we, and this is like not so much the learned behavior of an injury as a small child, although maybe it is if I look at it a different way. But, you know, how women in our culture at least are taught, maybe not, maybe it's not said out loud, although I think sometimes it is said out loud, to put our children first, often to put our spouse first too. In other words, to put ourselves at the back of the line. And I know
mm-hmm.
that that's totally opposite wrong. But
yes.
I remember the first time I married my husband, and just to give people background, I had my kids first with this man, and then our oldest was 10 before we got married. But he had a drug and alcohol problem, and he had been in treatment. So, you know, he was clean and sober, I thought. And we talked about getting married. And the marriage was going to entail a move out of state for me and the kids because he was living in another state. So before we had even gotten married, we did talk, and we did talk about if if he found, you know, a problem with the drugs or drinking, I mean, if he fell off the wagon, what action was he going to take? And if he took that action, what was I going to take? And if he didn't take that action, what was I going to do? You know, and I told him if, you know, if he agreed to go back into treatment, you know, I would stay there. We could work through this. But if he didn't, then all bets were off. And I would not stay with him. I wouldn't keep the kids with him. I wouldn't stay with him. So 5 weeks into the marriage, I realized he was drinking again. And I'm out now. I'm from Minnesota, but I'm out in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I've got three little boys. And it was one of the hardest things to do was to keep my word to me that I'm not going to stay in this situation. Because I talked to him about it. Actually, what happened was I went to take a drink of his cup of coffee, and it was not just coffee. So, this is what you agreed to do. This is not okay. And you know, these are the steps you agreed to take. And he was unwilling to take them. And he said no. He wasn't going to do that. So then I had to keep my word to me. And I put those kids in my car. And everything I owned was out in Michigan. But I put the kids in the car, and I came back to be with family in Minnesota. And eventually went out and got our belongings, and we moved back. I am clear. That was a good move because I know that I kept my word to me, and it was really important to me, but it was really hard, you know, heartbreaking hard to do, because I had a whole bunch of arguments in my head about how impractical that would be, and I should give this man a chance, and, you know, the song and dance that I learned. But right. I came back. But I can look in retrospect, and I, because this came around the bend for me, and I made the same mistake. However, I'm clear in retrospect, I wasn't doing it for me. I was doing it for my kids. I did not want my kids living.
You were also doing that very physically and not putting any of your 80% spirit, because
my spiritual dream was really important to me, but I'm clear today how physically I was doing it. I wasn't then. I thought it was because I was doing the spiritual journey, I could keep my word to me as well as to him.
And I called you on that a long time ago when I said that you were doing the Mary Madonna thing. No, at that time, I'm sure you were going, I don't have no clue because I'm really working on this, what she just said to me. But I know she was insulting me somehow. I really wasn't.
Yes. right.
It was this thing. Because you took all the physical steps in what you needed, but you never took the time to find out the impact and where your lesson was in this. And by not doing so, you just went into a learned behavior. And the learned behavior was do for your children first. And you're absolutely correct. I don't think that, you know, because women as a whole, we share a lot of our teachings and our learnings. So, like, when I was pregnant for the first time, I did a lot of talking to my grandma and my mom about how they raise kids. But we listen to stories. All of us listen to stories about our parents and our grandparents and how they had to give up everything for their children. Oh, yeah. That would stop.
Yeah.
That is also called a learned behavior.
Right.
But it's totally in a physical sense. And so that's why we have to bring in spirit, because spirit has to support us in recognizing that a learned behavior is not healthy.
Right.
And it isn't. And I know there's a lot of mantras out there, but, you know, and there's psychiatrists and counselors and those wonderful people that are out there. You will admit learned behaviors are not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
There are some, and they will tell you there are some learned behaviors you have to have. I disagree. Because if you're standing in the joy and the love of your divine godness, you're not going to be rude to another God being.
Right.
You're going to recognize, you're going to have empathy for the walk. And this is part of what I was talking about, hurting other people.
Mm-hmm.
We can't hurt another God being. But we have to have empathy for the fact that their walk isn't the same as ours. So, yes, we have different understandings than they do. And if we don't share what their vibration and and ours is doing together, how can they become, how can they reclaim an accountability?
Right.
We didn't allow them. We didn't allow them the growth. Because why?
Exactly.
We're smarter? We're more holy?
Right, right. Oh, my gosh. Well, and part of the reason I shared the story was because it was such a, it's such an example of how insidious it is that I couldn't see that that was just a learned behavior. I thought
I know.
Was, you know, doing the
thing.
Not that I would take different actions, but in the truth, everything would have been different.
And that's the point.
And
I don't
truth,
believe
so.
People understand that point that you just made. You can take the same action step. You just have to take it in the universal truth of things.
Mm-hmm.
And by you never looking at what it was that you had come together with your first husband, actually the one and only husband that you've had.
Yeah.
He married you twice, but you know,
right.
that lesson, you never said, what is it I'm trying to teach myself? Because I'm drawn to this. And
right.
by doing so, then the second marriage wouldn't have happened.
Right, right.
And who knows who you'd be today? Think of the magnificence that you could be
mm-hmm.
today.
Absolutely.
That you didn't allow because you didn't put in your spirit. You didn't put in and really look at the fact that there was this wounded child because you told yourself that you came from a really good home.
Right.
Apparently not. Because physically, who did you draw to yourself?
Right.
You know, and each one of us has to look at that. And this is where our empathy has to come in for self because we have to look at, oh, we picked that person. Oh, my
mm-hmm.
goodness gracious. That doesn't mean that God being isn't a magnificent, wonderful God being, but not for the vibration of who and what you are. And that's all you have to remember. Try not to blame the other person. You asked for that, but you never at the time took the time to bring in enough spirit that you could see where the lessons were and then hold yourself accountable for the fact that you now know the truth. And once you know the truth, you have to incorporate that truth in your life experiences. You can't keep falling back and blaming the other person. Well, if he just would have done this, if he just could have
right.
done this. No, because you took the time. You took the time to bring the spirit in, universal truth. You broke down where your pieces were, but you didn't let go of the story. So there's lots of things that bind us to the physical part of this life expression. And so I'm here to show you where the physical parts are and how to incorporate infiltrating spirit so that you can stand in the universal truth. And that's how you're going to get to this joy, even in a sad day. Even in a sad day, it's just like a cloudy day. The sun is always shining. The sun doesn't go away. The planet turns. The sun doesn't go away, neither does our joy. We're putting clouds in the way, that's all.
Oh,
and I think we're down to just under a minute.
Yes, we are. And that is perfect. The sun doesn't go away. We're putting
it doesn't.
Clouds in the way.
Exactly.
It's only because while we've been talking, it got really dark here and started pouring. It's really black outside right now.
I'm sitting in sunshine, so, you know.
it's really dark here. It's like, I don't know, sunset dark here.
Oh, no. You must be going into a storm then.
Yes, yeah. But I know the sun is still out there. Thank you so much, Del Rey. I really, really appreciate it. I wish we had a little more time. There's so much to delve into. I'd like people to know, I just want to reiterate, people can go to your blog, goldenwordsofself.com, leave comments, ask questions. You will respond there, and you can come over to Facebook at facebook.com/Life Learning Center of Self. And join us next week on Self is Necessary.
Absolutely.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye now.